That's the University of Utah a cappella group, the Infrared, singing I Am a Utah Man last year. This is the Hinckley Institute Radio Hour. I'm Ross Chambliss. Recently, the song that's beloved by many students, sports fans, and alumni has faced an emotional statewide debate after the Associated Students of the University of Utah, or ASUU, raised the discussion to change its lyrics last March. What's in contention are proposals to adjust such lyrics as I'm a Utah Man and Our Coeds Are the Fairest, which some critics say are sexist and even exclusive of some marginalized populations of students. But others contend the current refrain honors tradition and holds sentimental value for alumni. University of Utah President David Pershing has asked the Office of Student Affairs to assemble a committee to consider changes to the fight song. A decision is expected by the end of the summer. Today on the program, we're airing a recorded debate on the issue between a panel of current and former University of Utah students. Arguing against changing the fight song is Natalie Harris, a U of U graduate who currently works in the university's Office of Development. Also Justin Newhall, who graduated this year and was a drum major with the U's marching band. Arguing for changing the fight song is Courtney Macbeth, Assistant Director at the Hinckley Institute of Politics and Director of Internships for the Office of Global Engagement. Macbeth was a 2001 graduate and a former All-American goalkeeper for the university's women's soccer team. And Sam Ortiz, the outgoing ASUU student body president. The debate was moderated by Annie Christensen, who is Special Assistant to the Vice President for Student Affairs. This Hinckley Radio Hour was recorded live with an audience of students at the Hinckley Institute of Politics on April 18, 2014.
I want to start with a little bit of history on the fight song. Utah Man was stolen in 1904 by Utah coach Harvey Holmes, and it came from a popular burlesque song called Solomon Levy. 80 years later, a U vice president tried to change the lyrics, "Who am I, sir? A Utah man am I," to "Who am I, friend? A Utah fan am I." 14 years ago, there was an effort to repeal and replace Utah Man with a song called the Utah Fight Song, written by Tabernacle organist Robert Kundicht. "Utah Man is not a true song," he said, "and the lyrics are extremely dated." In a 2006 article of the Utah Chronicle, the song, he said, is written in the pattern of traditional fight songs and focuses on the action. In 2007, the university addressed the subject 7 years ago. However, the proposed changes to the song were never made. This issue has had many periods of debate and discussion, with people feeling very strongly about keeping the long tradition of our fight song, and other people feeling that we must progress and allow our fight song to be more inclusive and representative of the campus. Let me give you the format for today. Each of our alumni representatives, Courtney and Natalie, will be given 2 minutes to express their different views on the fight song. After that, we will give Sam and Cheston 2 to 3 minutes to share their perspectives on the fight song. I'm going to then move to questions that were written by students on this topic and address those to the panel. Probably most important today are the ground rules for our discussion. We will take turns, and this is for everyone, the panel and the audience. We will take turns speaking and not interrupt each other. We will not blame, attack, or engage in put-downs. And in the Q&A, we will ask questions of each other for the purpose of getting clarity and understanding. Do not be afraid to respectfully challenge one another. However, if the question is personally attacking or threatening, I will not permit that question to be addressed. We encourage your full participation and active listening. Community and intellectual growth depend on the inclusion of our individual voices. Instead of invalidating somebody else's story with your own spin on his or her experience, please share your own story and experience. We will recognize that if we don't agree with each other, each of us is entitled to our own experience and views. The goal of the forum is not to reach consensus, but to engage in a dialogue and gain a deeper understanding of each other. So let's go ahead. Natalie, Courtney, 2 minutes on why you feel the way you do. Can we start with you, Natalie?
Sure. You know, there's a lot of reasons why I am opposed to the changes, but if I have to narrow it down to two of the biggest ones, it's one, as a woman, I am I find no offense in using the term man. I also do not think that the change to Koadar, the fairest, referring to skin color, I don't interpret the song that way. I actually take pride in calling myself a Utah man. I think it's something that is very meaningful to me, but also to an entire lineage of Utah alums in my family. My second biggest reason is I am a firm believer in tradition. And I don't believe that just because tradition is old or might be considered outdated, that it is offensive or needs to be changed. I feel like there are many memories and wonderful things that come from tradition. And when we're sitting here tinkering with tiny little words, I feel that it's demeaning to the history of the school.
Thank you so much. Courtney?
Great. I am also a firm believer in tradition. And for me, the tradition of the University of Utah is we're the flagship institution. We've been here since 1850. We are the example of progression and change with society for positive reasons. And that's why I think we should change the fight song. I vividly remember my first season when I was a freshman student athlete going to Rice-Eccles Stadium and singing the Utah fight song and just feeling like, oh, this just doesn't sit right. It doesn't feel right. And I am the biggest Utah fan there is. The first clothes that I put on my three newborn children at the University of Utah Hospital were little Utah hats. But never once have I referred to myself as a Utah man. I'm a Utah fan. I'm a Utah alum. I was a student athlete. And so to me, the lyrics of our song are antiquated. They're steeped in a time when women couldn't even vote, when the large majority of our population was segregated and not able to vote or participate in government actively. So to me, the amazing ability of this university is to reflect change and inclusion in our society. And so for me, this is all about tradition, and the tradition is being the example in the state of inclusion and progression and the amazing progression that we've taken in our society at this time.
Thank you, Courtney. Cheston, may we ask you to speak for a few minutes?
Absolutely, I'd love to. Well, first of all, I think this discussion's great. I think it's what makes the university so special, is that we can have an open dialogue. And I applaud ASU and Sam Ortiz, honestly, for putting this up, because it's important for us to understand our tradition, our heritage, why we do the things we do, and not mindlessly go through a fight song, which means quite a bit to me. You know, some points have already been made about tradition and keeping tradition, whether it's through progress and innovation or antiquated terms. And I believe that to say that the term man is antiquated is inaccurate. You know, one of the most popular historical references with Neil Armstrong when he landed on the moon was in reference to not one small step for man, but one giant leap for mankind. You think of popular phrases such as sticking it to the man that have no reference to male or female or any specific gender, but they are generic references. So I believe the term man, which will probably be the most debated here today, is not antiquated, and I think it's something used on a daily basis, frankly. And then in terms of inclusion, I think changing the fight song will not fix the problem of inclusion at the University of Utah. Or in the state of Utah, for that matter. We have 45% of our students are female, compared to 55% being the national average. We have 69% of the income that women make in Utah. Their income is 69% of what the average male in their similar roles make. Changing a fight song is not going to fix that. And I think it's disingenuous to the University of Utah and its fight song by fixing it, because when it was established in 1904, women... To even mention women in a song, especially in terms of university, was groundbreaking. It was earth-shattering. And I think we should honor that tradition in history, because that is what the University of Utah has been about, is being genuine to its members and to its alma mater.
Thank you. Sam?
So I definitely understand how sticky this conversation can be. And I think I'd just start off by saying that I really do feel privileged to be able to attend the University of Utah. And in particular, I know that my experience has been a very fortunate one and does not reflect the experience of a lot of my peers. I know that a lot of my peers face struggles And that has been a focus of mine as I've attempted to speak for students who feel marginalized. So when I was approached about the concerns with the verbiage, you know, I definitely related to those concerns and decided to support the endeavor to change the fight song. And really, since initiating that, it's become a little bit more than just a fight song, about the fight song. Cheston, you know, mentioned some of the other real inequalities in our society. And this, the verbiage of the fight song is just symbolic of those things. Yes, changing the words aren't gonna change the inequalities, but it at least sends the right signal that we actually care about making changes, however small, to make sure that everyone here feels included and welcome. And while that might be a minority of students who feel that way, they are important, and they are who I'm representing here today.
Thank you, Sam. I'm now gonna move into the question portion of our forum today, and these were questions written by students. At the conclusion of these questions, I'd love to leave time for you, 5 to 10 minutes, for you to answer or ask questions, excuse me. Okay, question one. The Utah fight song has been altered in the past. Previous lyrics have included references to alcohol and smoking. If there is a precedent for altering lyrics that some find controversial, why or why not is it a problem to change it again?
Is it open to whoever speaks first? Right.
Sure.
Well, I'd like to speak on that. You know, I believe that just because there are precedent doesn't mean that you have to change it. Or, I mean, I think it's great that someone once stood up for something and something was changed. You know, when I think about the lyrics of, you know, smoking and drinking, I mean, I don't drink and I don't smoke. But, and if those were still the lyrics of the song, I would probably sing it and have fun with it. I don't nitpick words just because it might be controversial. I was not around when those lyrics were changed, or at least I don't remember when they were changed. But you know, I can understand that drinking at, you know, an institution where we don't want to promote underage drinking for kids, and also smoking is an unhealthy thing. So I can understand that change. Just from a health perspective, I don't see that changing just because it was changed before is reason to be changing now.
And to continue on, I think those changes are also very clear that it was wrong. I think right now we're facing semantics between man, does it mean male, or does it mean humankind? Fairness, that's also been brought up. I said it right. Thank you. There have been a couple terms that it's just a matter of semantics. Why would we change something that's clear as mud? I think that's my big concern. Is I'm all for change in the progression of the University of Utah, but to me it is not clear that it is making it, that these terms are marginalizing people. I think any term, no matter how you look at it, can marginalize someone in a way, but I don't think that's the heart of the University of Utah fight song, nor is it promoting unhealthy behaviors, socially or physically, whereas the other ones they were, the drinking and smoking reference. And so you could argue that that was detrimental to the university community.
One thing, actually, Georgia Tech still has their fight song actually lists, I don't know the exact words, but it talks about drinking their whiskey clear. I mean, there are other schools that actually still have certain references to drinking in their fight songs. I'm not saying that it's correct, I'm just giving a reference point to other schools and their fight songs.
And to me, you know, the reference to smoking and drinking is actually a big problem on university campuses with underage drinking and issues within Greek Row and that sort of thing. So whether it's alcoholism or, in this case, what we're addressing is racism and sexism, to me it's an ism. And it's more than semantics, and maybe it doesn't include you or you don't feel offended by it. But I think the point is that there are people that don't feel included, and that it does affect. And so for me, it's all about Utah athletics is about inclusion, feeling proud of your university. And if you can't sing the song and feel that way, then I think it is something the university needs to look at.
I would also add, I mean, given the fact that the song has changed for whatever reason, I think speaks to the appropriateness of re-engaging and looking at all of our traditions. Nothing should be too sacred that we shouldn't be able to talk about it and really examine it. And the individuals who share that they feel uncomfortable or unwelcome because of not maybe that just the song but other things, I mean, their feelings are real. And it affects them. It affects them because it's a reminder. They may face discrimination in other ways in class on this campus, and then they want to maybe enjoy a game, and it's a reminder of those challenges they have to face. And so I'll repeat again. Maybe these students represent the minority, but we have to stick up for them, and we have to let them know they're important and give them a reason to continue. I can see the faces of people I know who couldn't continue at the University of Utah because it was too difficult. And I want to reiterate how important sticking up for these marginalized populations is, even if it may not be popular. And I think that's what courage is about.
And I completely agree. I think that for us to not analyze this stuff is ignorant. And I think it would be foolish for us to keep terms that that marginalize people and I agree. I think the people who feel like they couldn't move on with the University of Utah, that is sad. And that is a serious issue that we and the administration and community needs to address. But I don't think the fight song and its lyrics are a cause for that. And you're right, it is more than semantics. I think if you really want to look at the heart of it, you can't just look at the words. You have to look at the context. Let's look at the context of the fight song. It has been sung at more, arguably in the past decade, more female varsity sport teams than male varsity sport teams. It has been sung equally across the 110 years in terms of if we had a female sports team or a male sports team. It's been sung at athletic events and non-athletic events. This isn't a song that we're only going to sing the University of Utah fight song when the male football team comes on, or we're only going to sing certain lyrics based on the skin color of different members. It's been sung across the land. And it is up to date in terms of that it's including people, and it's certainly not excluding. I think that's the other thing too. If it blatantly excluded people, I would say let's change it from here until tomorrow. Let's rewrite the whole thing. Let's revamp it. And from a musical perspective, I would even hear let's change it because it's a bad song. I mean, it is a like it's a goofy song, but to say that the song is deliberately excluding people, I think is disingenuous.
In my 5 years playing soccer for this university, not once did we sing the Utah Fight song at a women's soccer game. So I would argue those statistics.
Okay.
And just so we are clear, with our student athletes right now, we have around 400 student athletes. 54% of those student athletes are females, and the rest are males. So females are actually the majority of student athletes at this time. And I dare to ask if there's any Utah female student athlete who would just say, I'm a Utah man. I mean, I'm not. I'm a Utah alum. I was a Utah student. I'm faculty and staff. And for me, and I do sit, I think it's important to note, too, that this is the first year in the history of the University of Utah that females are in the majority of the freshman class. So females are in the majority of student athletes, and they now are the majority of the freshman class, whereas when the fight song was written, 2.8% of college population were females. 2.8%. Now it's above 50%. That's a drastic change in the last 100-plus years. So how can we have a fight song that's steeped in the traditions of the early 1900s now when we consider ourselves the innovative top university in Utah? And in the West.
You're listening to the Hinckley Institute Radio Hour on KCPW. We'll be right back. This is the Hinckley Institute Radio Hour. I'm Ross Chambliss. If you're just joining us, today we're airing a debate between current and former University of Utah students over whether to change some of the contentious lyrics to the school's fight song. Since the university student governing body passed a resolution to change the fight song this spring, university administrators are expected to make a decision by the end of the summer. We now return to the debate and Annie Christensen, the moderator.
All right, next question. Because alumni, staff, donors, et cetera, have concerns and support because alumni, they are concerned and support, this has become a community issue. How would a change affect the university community? How would changing the song affect the community?
Well, I'll speak to that. So I don't know if everyone was here when they read my bio, but I work here for the university in the development office. I'm a regional development officer, which a lot of people don't know, fundraising. So my main responsibility is to travel and to meet with our alumni and to raise money for this university. And, you know, I go and I sit down one-on-one with alumni all over this country. And I talk to them about their experience at the U. And I say, you know, what classes did you like? What things were you involved in? I really try to get out of them what was meaningful to them. And the song has never been brought up in any of my meetings, and I can't speak specifically for someone, but the consensus that I get is that this school has been wonderful, and they felt included, and people got involved. And so when I think about, okay, if I go into a meeting with someone and there's something controversial that's happening and that they're not happy with it, more than likely they're not going to be giving to the university. And yes, this is a state-funded school, but we also receive millions of dollars from our alumni and donors that support programs, teachers. I mean, pretty much this university is ran by its alumni. So, you know, I understand that this is a small portion of students that feel offended, and I hate that someone feels offended by something at the school, but there's also a large contingency of our alumni that to me have expressed great love for this university, and I don't want to give them a reason to not love this university and to be mad at it and not give to the programs that they've been giving to. So I'm fearful that how it will affect the community is that it will affect our alumni and that they will be and then turn not want to support the things that they have done so in the past.
Well, I think another thing too that as a student I only realized this last year was that the University of Utah is I believe still the largest public employer in the state. Is that still ring true?
So
we are huge for whether you've attended the University of Utah or not, or whether you're a student has attended the University of Utah or not, it doesn't matter. You're impacted by the University of Utah community, and I think that goes without saying. So no matter what decision is made, I think it is a community decision. I think it is a decision that impacts current students, future students, and previous students, and administration and staff. I mean, everyone here contributes to the University of Utah community, so every voice is important. And again, you know, addressing some concerns earlier, my experience with women's varsity soccer is obviously not as extensive, but the times I went there fall 2009, my first semester, I only went my first semester, we did sing it, and the times I was at the women's basketball games, I played it, and we sung it, and that could be an isolated experience. I don't know, I know volleyball does it, maybe not for women's, you know, swimming and men's diving, it doesn't. But then again, speaking back to how special it is that, you know, co-eds are even mentioned in the song, is that you're right, 2.8% of the female demographic was at the University of Utah. Songs that are created around that time only explicitly said men. And then again, I don't believe that the term man was used to describe just a male student. I believe man was used as a term to describe someone who's associated with University of Utah, Utah man. And we can go off of Webster's dictionary, but I believe this is a community decision. I think that everyone is impacted by it. And I think it's great that the dialogue is open.
So I'd like to maybe address a couple of things that have been brought up. You know, first of all, the idea that, you know, by mentioning women in 1904 in a song was maybe for its time, like progressive. In 1904, it was progressive. In 2014, using the word co-ed is not. And so I would applaud the people in 1904 for doing that, but I wouldn't. I think our standards have progressed, and our song should reflect the change. I mean, we're at a institute of higher learning. We learn new things. We should implement them, not just in our lives, but in this wonderful institution. Everything about this university changes constantly to improve, to make better. And I think our traditions should be part of that as well. The other issue in terms of alumni, I obviously appreciate the support that our alumni give us financially and other ways, and wouldn't want to necessarily lose that. But if this is merely just an economic issue, then yes, the people who donate the most should make this decision, so that we make them, we make sure that they're happy. But I would also like to maybe address, like, who are alumni? You know, our university, the Student Affairs Evaluation and Assessment, they do a survey to graduating seniors. And in 2013, 32% of outgoing seniors said they felt little or no sense of belonging. So these are not seniors that are probably going to be engaged as alumni. So we're engaging alumni. I don't know that these people who maybe didn't have as great of an experience because of not feeling included are being represented in that number. And maybe they would be if we were better engaged in making this a more inclusive campus. So the other thing is, I think it's very telling that if there's danger of someone's love of the university lessening because we changed the song, that I would be concerned really about the power of the song then. If by merely altering it, that that people's love of the university diminishes. I think that would first speak to the fact that this is not just about a song. It's not just merely a song. There's power in words and in how we use them and how people are affected by these words we use. Those are just a few thoughts I wanted to share.
And if you think that our biggest donor should maybe make the decision here, Spence Eccles has gone on record saying, I'd be fine with changing man to fan. Clark Ivory, the head of the Board of Trustees, said, our past needs to balance the future and the progression that's made. So I'd argue that two of the main people we'd go to have already said, yes, it's time that we relook at this and make some changes.
Thank you. We're going to move on to the next question. Whether the fight song is offensive to the majority of students or not, how do we address the fact that the fight song does offend some of our students?
Well, I would say merely we change it. And I think it speaks to, I think, a point I would really like to make is that if we change it, who does it harm? People may be upset that we change it, and I respect and don't want to minimize the passion people feel for traditions, but I don't know that they would be really harmed by a change. Reversely, there are people, because of this song and other things on campus, that are in need of help. And by changing it, we send the message to them that the university is listening, that they're cared about, that even in small things, their voice is being heard. And so I would say the harm is minimal changing, but harm is more impactful if we maintain it.
I think one of the things that bothers me about the phrase co-eds are the fairest, and I'm probably the fairest you can get around here, is that it emphasizes the appearance instead of intelligence. For me, I'd love that phrase to say something like, our students are the brightest. We're not here at a university to model and show and skin color. We're here to become intelligent, to become analytical, critical, and to be progressive agents of change in our society. So for me, that's part of that phrase that's really difficult for me, because I'd love that to reflect academics and not purely skin color or appearance.
Thank you.
Actually, continuing on, if we could.
Oh, absolutely.
Address it. So first of all, for Ferris, for those who want to know, it does address physical qualities, absolutely. Pleasing to the eye or mind, especially because of fresh, charming, or flawless quality. So to limit the term fairest to simply skin color or simply to one's physical appearance is actually limiting of the English language. In fact, inhibiting our use of our knowledge that we gained here at the University of Utah. You know, I think we talk about the power of words, and if people are this upset over a fight song, you know, why would we change it? It speaks to the power of words. Then I would kind of argue, throw the same argument back at you, like, why are we changing it if it really isn't a big deal based on your argument? Like, what's the point? And I think it is, but I do think it is important. I'm in that camp that I think it is important. In terms of 32% of the graduating seniors feeling little or no sense of belonging, I don't believe that's due to the fight song. And I don't believe they would cite the reason as the fight song. I could be wrong, and I honestly would encourage the administration to go out there and put that for future graduating classes. But when I think about movies that are shown on campus, Wolf of Wall Street, that deliberately look down upon it, with sexist comments, and I believe there are racist comments in there, I could be wrong. When we bring people to Grand Kerfuffle that glorify the marginalization of women, what is a bigger deal here? That we have a living and breathing tradition that we are promoting the marginalization of women and maybe other groups, or that we have a fight song that we're not even entirely sure if they meant when they said Utah man, if that explicitly meant male. You know, and Ferris, again, at the contemporary definition, makes no reference to skin color. It is one of the definitions, but the top definition, it is not. And the same with the top definition of male. It says, yes, it can mean male. It can mean a male, someone who identifies himself as male, but it first states, according to Webster, and there are plenty of dictionaries out there, an individual human, before it even references gender. So for me, those facts are pretty clear that I think there are more issues for ASUU and the student government to worry about than there are about a fight song.
And if I could chime in just quickly, you know, I'm not meaning to lessen if someone is offended. However, someone is always going to be offended at something. And to cater to a small amount, you are then offending a large amount. So how do you decide who to offend? So, you know, I'm not lessening someone's feelings here, but to go to Cheston's point of view, there are many other things that actually affect someone's livelihood. This isn't affecting anyone's livelihood.
You're listening to the Hinckley Institute Radio Hour on KCPW. We'll continue in a minute with this recorded debate over the University of Utah's fight song and whether its lyrics should be changed. Stay with us. This is the Hinckley Institute Radio Hour on KCPW. I'm Ross Chambliss. Recently, students, alumni, and administrators have engaged in a debate over whether to change the University of Utah's fight song. On April 18th, a panel of current and former students faced off over the issue. Arguing against a change is Natalie Harris and Justin Newhall, and arguing for a change is Courtney McBeth and Sam Ortiz. The moderator is Special Assistant to the Vice President for Student Affairs, Annie Christensen.
Previous University of Utah traditions have been altered. The University of Utah used to have a man dressed as an Indian ride a horse on the field prior to football games. If the song is changed, will this affect Utah sporting events where the song is sung?
You know, I've grown up attending pretty much every Utah basketball and football game. My family have had season tickets since I can remember. And I loved that Indian. I mean, and I don't know the reasons, and I'm not going to sit here and say that I know who made the decision, if it was the Indian tribe that was offended by the Indian, or if it was other Native Americans, I'm not sure. But that's something that I miss. And I think that changing the fight song, at the end of the day, I'm going to still go and I'm going to sing that fight song the way that I have grown up singing it. But I think that when you take away something, you're taking away certain memories. I mean, I don't know if anyone in here remembers Bubbles. If anyone in here remembers Bubbles, then you remember. But Crazy Lady, I believe, is either the daughter or the granddaughter of Bubbles. And Bubbles was, an older lady that would stand up and, you know, shake her stuff at the end of the third quarter like Crazy Lady did. And you know, she retired and Crazy Lady came and they replaced it with the drums, which I love. But there are still parts of me and parts of my family that I would say almost every single football game we say, man, we miss that Indian. Like, that was cool. That made me proud to be a Ute. And I think that you know, there's been a lot of controversy and discussion about whether we're going to keep the Ute name. And there was just a decision made by President Pershing and the Ute tribe to continue to use the Ute name, which I love. And what makes me sad is that we lost that Indian. We lost that Crimson Warrior, what was actually his name, because to me it lessens the culture and the tradition of the school. So by changing the name, by changing the song, I think it lessens it. It kind of degrades it just a little bit more. Soon, you know, who knows, in 30 years, people might be talking about it again and change it once again. So I think that there's rich culture, and we shouldn't be, you know, changing stuff just for the sake of changing it because of the way that the times are now.
And I can understand your nostalgia 100%. I guess for me, I want to start the tradition with my three young sons where they can sing a fight song that's reflective of our current culture and society and that's more inclusive. So for me, I'm looking forward to the future and building that tradition with my children that reflects who I am. And, you know, they're a lot more than a Utah man. They're going to be involved in all of these different things. So I want to build a tradition moving forward that's based on inclusion in the song.
So, I'd like to add that I can't express how happy I am that we don't have someone dressed as a Native American running onto the field. I think that I think people at that time were wise enough to clearly see how offensive that was, and they made the appropriate change. And now this is a new discussion on whether or not, you know, man is inclusive of everyone, coeds and fairest, and we're here again. There's some people who won't see that, and if we change it in 30 years, we'll be nostalgic for the current words if they're changed. But you know, I think it is clear, you know, and it takes a critical mind. But I've had the definition of man, you know, Merriam-Webster, etc., and so I'm very familiar with that. But to really look at what that means, who wrote these dictionaries? The dictionaries don't define us. We define the dictionaries, and they express the biases of the people and the times that they're written. So if the dictionary says that a man, the word man means woman and men, when was that written? Who wrote that? And at the time, probably men and women weren't actually equal. And I understand, you know, there's famous quotes. Look at it through a critical lens again. You know, our Declaration of Independence says all men are created equal, but the following Constitution did not reflect that. It shows the biases of their time. So the word man, you put it perfectly, is antiquated in a sense of reflecting all human beings. I'm fortunate that I've been able to learn that critical thinking skill here at the University of Utah, and it's allowed me to understand and engage with this in that sense.
To continue on, I agree with you, those quotes, Merriam-Webster, you can even argue is antiquated. I would say people who read the Bible and they see man, that could be antiquated too. You know, but when a popular phrase, sticking it to the man in that context then what implies what, an institution? Correct?
Yeah.
That's a popular phrase. Mm-hmm. I think I've heard you say that before.
I may have said it, yeah.
I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. I mean, I can say, and people are like, yes, well, we think so based on what you look like, but it's a popular song. People say, I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. And, but what does that mean? That's a popular reference that, again, shakes up what you are defining as something that's antiquated. It still brings it back to the forefront. So to say it's antiquated is actually wrong. It is wrong as a popular culture reference. Am I wrong in saying that?
No, I think we've all been socialized to believe and continue perpetuating these words. I'm not immune. I by no means want to express the idea that I'm perfect at inclusivity or diversity, but I strive to do that, and this is just part of that. There's a lot of things that I try and do, and I make mistakes, and I acknowledge those mistakes, and then have those conversations and make appropriate actions. You know, you mentioned ACU, our concert and films. You know, those are definitely concerns that have been brought to my attention, and I think, you know, those may have been mistakes, and maybe I would suggest to the incoming president to be more critical. So, but just because I'm not perfect at inclusivity doesn't mean that we can't still make these changes. I think, in fact, we should still move forward together and grow and progress together.
And I agree, and let's grow and progress and agree that Utah man is inclusive, is all inclusive. I don't get it. I guess I'm confused because we still have modern day definitions of Utah man. From when man came out, it originally had an extra N, actually, to imply mankind. There's a different word for the terms male. And according to pop culture, there was some stuff that deviated, but still comes about as using man when it comes to general mankind. And so I think, and excuse me, I didn't mean to personally attack you your comments. I just use it because Sam and I have been friends, and I think we've both heard when others say the man. And I completely agree that we need to be inclusive. I don't want that to not be an issue, but I don't think to say Utah man is exclusive. I really don't. I mean, when I hear my sisters say it, I hear members of sororities say it, I hear quite a few people say it, and alumni. I mean, I would just be curious to know how many people don't attend the University of Utah because of the University of Utah fight song. How many people leave the University of Utah because of the University of Utah fight song? How many people have an unfavorable view of the University of Utah because of the University of Utah fight song? I could be wrong. There could be an overwhelming proportion, but I would argue that perhaps not. Perhaps it's pretty bad. Now, how many people feel impacted because of issues on campus where they feel marginalized? I mean, I'm a white male. I'm a non-denominational Christian, and I feel marginalized on campus because I'm not in the majority religion. Yeah. You know, and I'm in a fraternity, and I get made fun of. So, I mean, I guess my point is that, yes, everyone will be offended, but I don't, and no matter what happens, whether you keep it or change it, but I think Utah man, the heart of Utah man, and the instances where I've seen it played when it comes to women's basketball events, women's gymnastics events, male football, you know, the intent has never been to say everyone has to be a fair-skinned male to succeed here, and maybe the occasional female. I think the intent has been that Utah man is bigger than you or me.
I want to go back to the exclusivity of using Utah man.
Yeah.
If you go into any of the locker rooms, whether it's the women's soccer team or men's basketball, men's football has a Utah man am I in their locker room. Not one of the female athletic teams has I'm a Utah man in their locker room. So to try and say, and females, as I again reiterate, the female athletes are in the majority when it comes to student athletes, not one locker room says I'm a Utah man for a female athlete. So to say that that's the term that we all have to use to feel tradition and feel connection to the university, it's just antiquated to me, and it's not inclusive of me as a former female athlete.
How would you define the term man? Would you say that it in no terms means that it could be mankind or humanity under no context?
Again, I agree with Sam. I think it was meant, you have to look at it through the lens of when it was created, and nowadays we don't use that to be all-inclusive. We say the human race or a person. You know, if I were writing an academic paper and I was referring to both males and females, I wouldn't put in there man.
Have you heard the term man, though, used before in your lifetime to explain something other than just someone's gender?
Certainly, but I think we've gone over this, okay, that it's in the context of when it was brought about and the dictionary and all the historical influences on that. And I think my point here is, at a university, our job is to push society to be better. And this is one of those instances where let's use a more up-to-date term that's inclusive.
Thank you. What I'd love to do next is to move the questions to the audience. What we would ask you to do is wait till you get the microphone and then ask your questions. We have about 5 to 8 minutes for the questions, and then we're going to wrap up.
My name is Ryan Larson. This question is really to the whole board. It's more about if the term is so antiquated, then why hasn't it already been changed? If we've already been arguing it for 7 years, are we just not a progressive university, or is it really just not offensive?
I think it's just not offensive. Let me speak for just a minute. You know, we're sitting here debating the definition of a man, But when I sing Utah man, I'm thinking it more as I am calling myself a Ute. I'm not thinking, you know, person, woman, whatever it is. I'm actually like taking on the name of a Ute, like just as much as I call myself Natalie. So I'm a Ute. Any one of my friends, family, they know I'm a Ute. And when I hear the word Utah man, I'm not thinking of gender. I'm thinking of, what is my name? What am I calling myself? So I don't know if that answers your question, but I don't at all even think of it as antiquated or old, because I'm not thinking of it that way. I'm just saying, what am I calling myself? I'm calling myself a Ute. I'm calling myself a Utah man. And to me, that's why I think it's a non-issue.
Okay, so I think the reason it hasn't changed is because it's difficult. And it speaks to the larger issues the university has when it comes to making change. You know, fixing the song won't fix the other problems. But if we can't actually fix the verbiage in a song, how are we going to actually tackle those other issues? And the other fact may be that it may be a minority of people that feel that way. And as a person of color, I'm used to being in the minority. And oftentimes that means that my concerns are dismissed. And that is a problem. And this is why we need to take action. And I hope, you know, either it's right and the university should do it, or it's wrong and the university shouldn't do it.
I would agree that it is difficult for change to occur. I think Sam hit the nail on the head there. But I think you'd have a hard time believing it's antiquated. One, the dictionary hasn't changed it. It's still a term that gets used up in pop culture references. And finally, we're still singing it. And we're still singing it. And again, I mean, what Natalie says, Cheston is Cheston, and Cheston will be different no matter, you know, 100 times you say it. What was your name again? Ryan. Not all Ryans are the same, right? But there's Ryan Larson. And the term Utah man is exclusive to the University of Utah. We are all a part and can claim that we are Utah man. You can say, I am Utah man. And so I think it's something that, again, it's something you call yourself, and it's living and breathing, and by the way that the community lives it out. And I think this is a very healthy way to live it out, by the way. I think having this discussion and going over even the semantics helps us reaffirm who we are and why we call ourselves what we do.
My name is Brian Smith. Is the idea of a fight song not antiquated in and of itself? I mean, we are, as a former collegiate athlete, I promise we don't get all riled up when we hear a fight song. So the idea is that it's an antiquated tradition, and I would just wonder if you want to not be antiquated anymore, shall we not sing a fight song anymore, and let's just either have the band play or let's play some songs from popular culture over the speakers. Anyway, so my question is what's your take on traditions in general? Why do we have a fight song, and is it worth changing something that's inherently traditional?
So I would first speak to the point that I'm not really here or proposing the changes merely because it's antiquated. People find it exclusive, sexist, and racist. And so it's not merely antiquated. The idea of man being both male and female is what I find antiquated. My proposal is not to get rid of the fight song. Like, I have no inherent concern of singing a song at athletic events, although this song is not just sung at athletic events, it'll be sung at commencement. But just making sure that whatever that song may be is inclusive.
I think a fight song, I mean, conducted the fight song multiple times. I'm one of those weird people, I get riled up with the fight song. I love it. I have a lot of memories with the fight song that I've been associated with. That's, you know, beating number 5 Stanford, conducting Utah Man 3 times as we tried to get the fans off and on the field. Coming into the University of Utah, hearing the Utah fight song before I even attended classes, and learning the lyrics before I even stepped foot into a classroom at the University of Utah through my time at the marching band. So to me, it means a lot of memories come up when that happens. And you're right, I think if we're willing to change tradition and we don't need a fight song, then we don't need a fight song. But I think it's great. I think it's a great tradition, and it does nothing but promote the University of Utah among its members, because it's something that we all share. We all know that tune. Hopefully most of us know the lyrics, but all of us know Utah Man when we hear it.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. You've been listening to the Hinckley Institute Radio Hour. If you wish to voice your opinion on whether the U's fight song should be changed or not, there's still time. Comments and suggestions can be sent to the email address fightsong@utah.edu until May 31st. This program was brought to you by the Hinckley Institute of Politics at the University of Utah and KCPW. Thanks to the Utes Marching Band for some of the music played during this hour. You can hear this program again and other podcasts on KCPW's website, and join us every Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. to hear more engaging forums and speakers on political and legal issues affecting Utah. I'm Ross Chambliss, and this is KCPW.